For our scripture reading, we turn again to Daniel chapter 6, and this time we will consider especially the latter part of the chapter, from verse 11 forward. But we begin again at verse 1 and read the chapter, Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, then they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they had came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Dearly beloved, people of God, we are comforted. We are comforted knowing that our Lord is with us, even as he has been with the saints in the past, even as he was with Daniel so many years ago. The same God is with us. The same God is with his people. And as we go through this time of trial, we are comforted knowing that. We very much look forward to a time that we gather together again and together worship God. We long for that. We look forward to that. As we go through this trial, we pray for one another. We are thankful to be members of the body of Christ. And we think about not only the trial that we as individuals and that we as families face, but we think of the trials that God's people are facing. And we pray for one another and we encourage one another. We think of the importance of us fighting the spiritual battle, and that we believe in our God. That we recognize that at a time when many focus on a virus and how fast it's spreading and the need for more equipment, and we are hearing much about the spread of the virus, we recognize at the same time that all this is going on, that there is this spiritual battle going on. There are these spiritual enemies that assault us. And we recognize as we get up each day, every day and every night, we recognize we're called to fight in this spiritual battle, trusting not in ourselves, trusting in our God, believing God's promises. And we know that Daniel is cited as an example of one who trusted in his God. Our children memorize Hebrews 11. And those that have gotten to that point and have worked through that, familiar with the fact that there's a reference to this in Hebrews 11, verse 33. We read, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." And when we think of that last one, you know, we think of what we read of in the book of Daniel. And we think of Daniel's faith. And Daniel's faith is referred to in the chapter that we read. And it says, "So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." Verse 23. We read that Daniel confessed in verse 22, "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not heard me." Daniel believed in his God. He trusted in God, the same God that we believe in. We trust in him. We know that does not mean, when we say we trust in God, that doesn't mean that we are not saying that in a trial like we go through right now, that God's people who are trusting in him, that none of them will get sick, none of them will die. We do not know how many will get sick, how many of us will get sick, how many of us will die, how many of us will have very difficult financial situations, or what kind of difficulties we'll go through that are related to this virus or related to other things. We recognize, though, that God averts all evil, or he turns it to our profit, and that he's with us. And as we fight the spiritual battle against our spiritual enemies, we do so in the confidence that the Lord is with us. We come unto him asking for forgiveness and asking for deliverance. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And we pray that with confidence, knowing that God will grant us the grace that we need. We look at this passage under the theme, stopping the mouths of lions. We consider it, first of all, from the viewpoint of the wickedness. What is said here about the wickedness of man? Secondly, we look at it from the viewpoint of the faith, the God-given faith. We recognize that the fact that Daniel believed was a gift of God. But we look at Daniel's faith, and we think also then of our calling to believe, to trust in our God. And then thirdly, we look at it from the viewpoint of the deliverance. Stopping the mouths of lions, the wickedness, the faith, the deliverance. First of all, with regard to the accusation. We read here that they came to accuse Daniel. And these wicked people that came and accused Daniel, we talked about it before, that we see here that there was some envy, it appears. We read that Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. The king thought to set him over the whole realm. And then the next thing we read is that presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no occasion nor fault. Now, even people of the world can be envious of another person of the world. One unbeliever can be envious of another unbeliever when they see that another unbeliever has a position that they want or is getting the attention that they want. But we recognize also that the unbelievers hate the people of God. A man such as Daniel, who was trusting in his God. And they knew that when they say, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." That they saw how he worshiped God and how he trusted his God. And we recognize that the people of the world hate and persecute the people of God. And they're desiring the destruction of Daniel. And they put Daniel, they're going to put Daniel in a situation where he's going to be, that if he is obedient, and then think, well, then he's going to be thrown into the den of lions. And if he transgresses against the commandment, then he's sinning against his God. They hate Daniel and they come against him and they come to the king. And they've been consulting together. We read in verse 11, "These men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." And we talked about the fact that he opened the windows. He didn't close the windows, but he left the windows open. And that he bowed down, which would make it clear too that he was praying. The fact that he's bowing down as he did before, he's kneeling down and praying three times a day. These men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God, and then they come near to the king. And we know that at the beginning, when they come to the king, they first talk about the decree, but they don't bring up Daniel right away. They say to the king, "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" And of course, they knew the answer to that, but they asked the king that, bring that to the king's mind. Then the king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." And now, after he has said that, then they say to the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah," they make a reference to him that way. He's one that was put in a position. We read that the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And they refer to him simply as one of those that's of the children of the captivity, one of the captives of Judah. "He regards not thee, O king." One of those ones from Judah. "He doesn't regard thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." Three times a day he does. Then we read that the king, when he heard that he was displeased. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And he tried, it says for a while, he was trying to find some way to deliver him. He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. It stresses, he wanted to deliver him. Set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And then these men come back, then these men say to him again, these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, now know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. And then the king commanded. And they brought Daniel. When we see what happened to Daniel, and then when we think of what happened to Christ, with regard to Christ, you know, with regard to Darius, they set him up, you know, this is this foreigner, this one that's from the captives of Judah. He doesn't regard thee, O king. And you think of what the Jews said, the unbelieving Jews, Jewish leaders said about Jesus. They said, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. They say that when they're talking to Pilate. You know, if you're not Caesar's friend. If you let him go, you know, he makes himself a king. He's speaking against Caesar. And here, with regard to Daniel, they say, he's not regarding thee, O king. Another similarity we see is that Pontius Pilate also was one that wanted Jesus to go free. He spoke about chastising him and letting him go. And the crowd kept screaming, crucify him, crucify him. And he'd go, why? What evil has he done? Crucify him. And then we read that when he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat is in a placement that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Golgotha. And when they cried away, crucify him, it says in verse 16, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and they led him away. And we think also of the fact that they were envious. The Jewish leaders were. We see that similarity too. Now, when we look at this history, it's important for us also to see that we look not only at those that were bringing an accusation against Daniel, but it's important for us to see the sin of Darius as well. Even though it was the case that Darius is, you know, looking to try to deliver him. Well, we think of Pontius Pilate too. Pontius Pilate was saying, I'm going to chastise him and release him. Pontius Pilate too, you know, we see something similar. If Pontius Pilate was a wicked man. And with regard to Darius, it's important to see here that we don't read of repentance. We read that he was displeased. You know, this was a man he wanted to exalt over the whole realm, and now he's told, you know, he's in this situation, he's displeased, he wants to deliver Daniel. But we don't read of him confessing his sin. We don't read of him confessing his sin about the decree that he made. And how wicked that was for him to say what he did. We don't read of any repentance with regard to that. You know, one wonders, what would he have done if there would have been other individual Jews that had that had been brought to the attention of Darius. What his thought would have been then. In this case, it was somebody specifically that he was intending to, you know, to put over the realm. And he wants to deliver him. Even after Daniel says what he says, when he says, "For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." So Daniel makes that statement. Innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt, and yet I've been thrown into the den of lions. We still don't read of Darius confessing his sin. He pulls Daniel out. He has Daniel brought out, and he takes the accusers and their families and throws them in. And then he makes a decree. But we don't read of him confessing his sin. That's one thing characteristic of unbelieving man. You know, you think of how often they'll do one thing or they'll do something that's blatantly wrong. They don't have a godly sorrow for sin. Maybe at times they'll see that something they did was wrong, and so they'll just do something else, but they don't confess their sin. They may do something else that they think will go in the opposite direction of what they did, but they're not. If asked the question, are you confessing your sin here? You sinned against God. Are you sorry for your sin? Well, we don't read of that here. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. And it's very important in our own battle with sin that we confess sin. We see people of the world and we see the things that we do, what they do. And we see the wickedness of the unbelieving world, and then we also think of the fact that when we talk about our spiritual foes, we recognize we have a sinful nature. And we recognize in our own life how important it is that we confess sin. So that, like, if we treat somebody badly one day, say something mean to him, that we don't think, well, the next day I'll just treat him better the next time. No confession of sin, no asking for forgiveness. I'll just treat him better the next time. But that when we've sinned against a brother or sister, we realize it's important for us to say, "I'm sorry." It's important for us to teach our children that. That's something that children sometimes can do. The children, friends, can get together and they can be mean to one another and they can say cruel things to one another. Even people that often play together can have a time there's a disagreement and they're saying cruel things to one another, and then they both go to their homes. And then the next day it's going to be like, well, let's just move on. It will be nicer today. Well, it is also important to remember things that were said that shouldn't have been said, and we guide our children to see, now you said some pretty mean things yesterday. It's important for you to say you're sorry about those things. For you to confess your sin. We recognize how important it is constantly for us to look at, not to deny, but to confess our sins. Not to find some way to excuse it. We tend to find some way to excuse our sin. Well, I may have done this, but that's because this person did this or this person did that. It's important that we confess our sins. That when we sin against a brother or sister, that we go to them. And we think of how God comforts us when he tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You know, we know, too, that when Darius does make a decree at the end, he makes a reference to God's power. His power. But what about his mercy? What about the forgiveness? That God forgives sins. You know, he says he has dominion that he says his kingdom shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders. Who delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Think of his power, his dominion. We think also of his mercy. We are thankful for the forgiveness of sins. Daniel was a sinner. He, like we, needed to be forgiven. And the comfort of forgiveness and knowing that we're righteous in Jesus Christ. And now we look at it from this history, from the viewpoint of faith. This is a trial that Daniel went through when he was older. You know, we thought about how earlier in the chapter you read of Daniel and his three friends, and we think of the trial when they're younger. But we also read of trials in the life of Daniel now when he's older. And you think of as we grow older and we've had various trials, various difficulties that we've gone through in the past. And then something like this comes along. And you hear about this writing, that there's this writing that was signed that you can't pray to your God for some 30 days. And if you do, you're going to be thrown into the den of lions. And now you're older. And you recognize in this life, this battle is continuing. Though we grow older, we are still involved in a spiritual warfare against spiritual foes. We long for the day that we die and are taken to glory and we're freed from our sins. We look forward to that deliverance that will come then. But throughout this life, the spiritual battle continues. Daniel, in this trial, trusted in God. You know, it's important when we read that we think of, you think of hearing a writing, such a writing, if you pray, and people, if you're of the practice that you open your windows, people can see. Practice of kneeling down, people can tell what you're doing. People see. And if people make an accusation, you could really be thrown to the lions. Not just a story, but that you read it happened to somebody else, but it could happen to you. Thrown into the den of lions. That was the case with Daniel. He knew about it. And he continued on as he was before. He was a faithful witness. One could well imagine if he would have shut the windows, or if he hadn't gone down on his knees like he was before, people might have pointed out, oh, you seem to be changing now. You're not doing things that you were doing before. Oh, how come you shut the windows now? We can't see in. But before, what are you doing in there? He was faithful. He was a faithful witness. He continued on. He trusted in his God. Even though the writing said, you do this, you're going to be cast into the den of lions. Now, when we see that, we know, and Hebrews 11 tells us, since Hebrews 11 speaks about God's people and their faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, skipping down a little bit, through faith. We recognize as we see Daniel here, we're to think of his God-given faith. He trusted in his God. And he was going to continue. He continued to do what his practice was, even though the threat was death. And it is important for us to think about that in our battle with all sorts of sin. So that we not only think, you know, if something like this ever happens where they make a law, and if there are some enemies that try to get a law passed that they know full well is against what the scriptures say, and if they're going to watch and then see, let's see if they do it. Let's see if they obey the law. And if they're going to bring an accusation against us, and we think, now, if that ever happens, you know, we look to God for the grace to remain faithful in such a situation as that. To stand firm as Daniel did, even unto death. But then we think about the fact that we have a battle against sin every day. It's not just when some kind of a law like that was passed. But every day you and I have this battle with sin. Where we're tempted to do what we ought not do. Are we going to do it? We have sinful desires. Are we going to do what we know is wrong? What we know is contrary to the law of God? And how important it is for us to, out of thankfulness, we do what our Father tells us. We love Him. We're thankful for our salvation. We think of the commandments. And we think of this showing us the way we express our gratitude to God for our deliverance. We believe what God tells us. We believe His Word, and the faith manifests itself in our obedience. That manifests the God-given faith that God has worked in us. It's important that we think of obeying our God in all of the different trials we face in our dealings with one another. How important it is that we love one another, that we think of that calling to love one another. That we think of the sixth commandment, the seventh commandment, the eighth commandment, all the commandments. But we think of what God calls us to do. We love our God. We trust in Him. And though our spiritual enemies, the devil and his host in this wicked world and our own sinful flesh cease not to assault us, we trust in our God. And when we see what Daniel did, it is important for us to think of the battle we're engaged in every day. And to remember in the trial that we face now, for us to keep thinking about the fact there's a spiritual battle going on here. Think of the wickedness of this world. One could well imagine that this world, as time goes on and as we get through this time, one would expect that the people of the world will exalt themselves of how that now, see how we got through this. We work together, see what we are able to do together. And now we can be more prepared in the future for something like this happening. And again, many are not going to turn to God. We know that God speaks about how wickedness is going to abound in the last days, and we see that in our own day. In our trials, we look to our God. We trust in Him. We fear God. And we honor those in positions of authority. It is interesting to see the way Daniel talked to the king. You know, the king who made this wicked decree. Then we read when the king says, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And he says, O king, live forever. That's how he responds. O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they've not hurt me. And so on. Also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. It's important for us to think of the importance of honoring those in positions of authority. We know that's one of the things that God commands. It's important for us to honor one another. It's important that we show respect for one another and that we honor one another, that we speak, show our esteem, that we esteem others better than ourselves, and that we show that in the way that we talk to one another. In the trials we face, we know we're not to panic. And we know that we're not to be worried and anxious. And we hear that. And then we can find that we recognize that we can see fear. At times we're afraid. Times when we're worried. Times when we're anxious. We think about the future. It's important for you and I constantly to think of placing our trust in our God. Praying. Even as Daniel did. He knew about the writing and he prayed to God. So that we look at it from the point of view that he continued to pray even though he knew about the writing. But we also look at it from the viewpoint that he went to God. He knew about the writing and he went to God in prayer. And how important it is that we go to God in prayer night and that day after day, night after night, we go to God in prayer. It shows that we are trusting Him, looking to Him to provide for what we need. It's our calling. God calls us. Believe. Trust in the Lord. And we also thank Him. We thank Him for the gift of faith. For now, as we turn to consider the deliverance, we think also of the fact that the very faith that we see in Daniel was a gift of God. Why did Daniel believe? When we see him in distinction from these unbelievers, we understand that when we see somebody like Daniel, that Christ died for Daniel. God had chosen Daniel in eternity, unconditionally. Christ would die for Daniel and purchase for him the gift of faith. And that God worked that faith in Daniel. So that on the one hand, we think of the call of the fact that we are called to believe. And in our trials, believe in God, trust in God. And we also think of the fact that God gives faith to His people and we give thanks to Him for that gift. It's given unto you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Christ's sake. God delivered Daniel. He was delivered from the mouths of the lions, as Daniel said, God hath sent his angel who hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not heard me, And you think of Daniel being among the lions. For a while, that's where he was. And there are the lions. And they're right with you. And there you are going through this night with the lions with you. And they don't harm you. And Daniel confesses, God sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths. And we see the deliverance. We see, you know, lest somebody might say, well, maybe they had, you know, maybe they had just recently been fed, and so maybe that's the reason why they didn't. We, of course, notice the contrast. We know, or we notice what is added about the fact that the king took those that accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions with their children and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. You think of that. They bring Daniel out and they look at him and he's unharmed. That they said they found that no manner of hurt was found him. And then they throw these others in, and that happens to them. Which served to manifest the work of God, that God delivered Daniel. Now, when we think of this, on the one hand, one may think of, you know, this situation of actually being with lions. You know, well, that happened to Daniel, that Daniel was, you know, was the case. He really was with lions. But what about us? Well, on the one hand, we know that as far as it could be the case, that at any time we could be, you know, put to death. We know that. We also take note of the fact that we sing in the Psalms at various places about asking God to deliver us from lions. We speak of this ongoing battle that we're engaged in. And we ask God to save us from the lions. And a number of places make a reference to the lion's mouth, just as it was in the history. It says, you think of Psalm 22, for example, just looking at a couple places. Save me from the lion's mouth. Save me from the lion's mouth. That's what we say. That's what we sing in Psalm 22, verse 21. Or you think of Psalm 57, verse 4. My soul is among lions. So you think, you know, can you imagine being among lions? Well, we sing and we say that. My soul is among lions. And I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. That's quite something. You think of that language that's used there. My soul is among lions. We say that. We sing that. I lie even among them that are set on fire. We think of the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. It is interesting, in that very psalm, we speak about something else that's related to what we see here. Because in the history of Daniel, we see that here they bring an accusation against Daniel. And then what ends up happening is that they get thrown to the lions. And in Psalm 57, after we make that statement about my soul is among lions and so on, then we go on in that psalm. This is Psalm 57. In verse 5, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. That's an idea that we find a number of places in the Psalms. That idea. They have digged a pit before me, and into the midst thereof they have fallen themselves. There's other Psalms where we have that very similar idea. We think of the judgment of God. You think of God saying to Abraham, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And you think of what happened to our Lord, the accursed death. And we think of the judgment that comes upon the ungodly. We think of the judgment that we deserve. You know, when we see what happens to these ungodly, they're thrown into the den of lions. We think of the judgment that we deserve. And we thank our God. We thank our God for the deliverance that He gives us. You know, when we say, my soul is among lions, we see how this history directs us to think about the battle that we're engaged in now. And as we cry out to God for protection, as we cry out to God for deliverance, as we cry out to God for the comfort we need from day to day, we also think about our Lord's victory. That He overcame death. He paid for all of our sins. And He arose victorious. You know, in this history, we think of Daniel coming up out of the den of the lions. You know, they put this stone there and they seal it. It says they, on the mouth of the den, they have the stone brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and they seal it with the signet, it's sealed with the signet ring. And we think of how Daniel comes up out of there. You think of how Jesus, he was crucified, dead, buried, and put in a tomb. And the third day, the angel rolls away the stone and sits upon it. And early in the morning, people come. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Our Lord has overcome death. And He makes us partakers of righteousness. He raises us, He quickens us, raising us from the dead. And we think of how His resurrection is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. The news about this deliverance would spread. People would hear about it. The king himself makes this decree and speaks about how God delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. We think of how this history is a comfort to us today. How it would have been a comfort to God's people in the trial they faced at the time of Daniel's day. How the things that we've been reading about, how they would have been a comfort as God's people in Daniel's day heard about these things. And we think of how it's a comfort for us today. We think of the comfort that we have as we think of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And of the comfort that we have knowing that we already have the victory in Christ. So we go forth each day fighting the victory. Fighting the fight of faith. Knowing we have the victory in Jesus Christ. Knowing that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. May we magnify the name of our God. May we go to Him, pray to Him, believe His promises. May we be faithful witnesses in the midst of this ungodly world in these last days. And may we manifest to others in the trial we face today that as we go through this, we're not trusting in ourselves. We're trusting in our God. We look to Him with confidence that He will give us all we need. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and our Father, we are thankful, O Lord, for Thy grace. We're so thankful for the mercy that Thou dost show to us. Grant us grace to honor Thee, to be strong in faith, not doubting, and to magnify Thy name as we fight against our spiritual foes. We're so thankful for the victory that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Forgive our sins. Deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.